Psalms 24, verse 1, we'll read through verse 5. Psalms 24, verse 1. The Lord, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Father, we bless you again today. Thank you for your many blessings that you have given to each of us. We ask, Lord, again that you would anoint these lips of clay, anoint our hearts to hear and receive what the Spirit of the Lord would say to each of us today. Show us your ways, O Lord, that we'd not sin against you. In Jesus' name, amen. This is prescription for provision. The Bible said here in the first verse that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell within. It gives us a pretty clear picture of the fact that God owns it all, that he created it all, and it's his. Could it be that circumventing God's prescribed methods of giving and doing so, we have limited his ability to fully bless the gift and the giver? Think about that. We circumvent his plan many times, and that does hinder our gift and the blessings that flow from above. Could it be that we are contributing to our own financial, physical, spiritual, and emotional demise by refusing to adhere to holy scriptures and what they say about finances? Now, I'm not angry today. I'm not doing this as a self-serving pastor gets paid from the tithe type thing. It has nothing to do with me as far as being pastor here. Other than that, I am the shepherd of this church, and it's my responsibility to do my best to teach you, preach to you the whole counsel of the Word of God. I haven't preached or taught on tithes in 3 or 4 years, but I'm going to teach and preach on it today, a prescription for provision. As a child growing up with two brothers and a little sister, there'd be times when we would argue over ownership. What was theirs and what was mine. Sometimes we'd have some pretty heated disagreements about that. In those instances, generosity, kindness, or sharing went out the window. What was mine is mine, and you leave it alone unless I say you can have it, or you can play with it, or you can touch it. You don't even touch it unless I say you can. You know, sometimes I believe that that is the attitude that we take with God. Our thinking is in regard to what we have. I've earned it. I paid for it. So it is mine. Therefore, I can do what I want with it. We appoint ourselves as CEOs of our own lives by the faulty premise that our decisions result in our provision. That's a faulty premise, ladies and gentlemen. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. What's it said there? It says, everything here is his, including you. So we set ourselves up. We appoint ourselves. We, from human reasoning, that sounds good and rational, but that's not what the Lord tells us. In truth, everything belongs to God. As what we have because God give us the power and the ability to get it. Our role is to manage what God has given to us and do it with open hands. Now, we've practiced this for 40 years. I practiced it my whole adult life. And a lot of you have too today. Most of you here have already grasped what I'm about to say in this sermon. But there are some who have never grasped it. Some who have never began to do what the Word of God says. So I'm talking not just to those, I'm talking to all of us today, because we all have times when we doubt God. And I want to just give you some good teaching on provision for, or prescription for provision today. First off, don't hold on to what you've got too tight. Don't hold on to what you have too tight. God expects you and I to participate in His plan for financial blessings. Tithing, 10% of your earnings is what tithing is. Offerings are above and beyond the 10%. Your alms is what you give, helping those that are less fortunate. And that is fact what God said, Jesus said in the Word of God, that is what you do secretly. He never said you gave your tithe secretly. He never said you gave offerings secretly, although many want to. I've had people say, well, I tithe, but it ain't nobody's business what I tithe. If you attend a local church, it's the local church business, especially if you're a member, it's whether you tithe or not, or if you wish to become a member. The local church needs to know, if you're going to be a member, that you financially support the church according to the Word of God. You want to hold an office in a church, or you want to ever be a pastor in a church, or you need to be financially above board and financially accountable to the church. I know people don't like to hear this. They say it's not about your business, but I'm going to give you God's prescription today and try to help you if I can, because some of us don't understand what these things says. Oftentimes we understand what God is saying, but we choose to ignore it. We can hear it, but we ignore it. But let me tell you something today. God will not let you off the hook. God will not let you off the hook. Let me share with you a principle in the Word of God today. Philippians 4:19 says this, "But my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Paul said, "My God shall." He didn't say he might, didn't say he would think about it, didn't say he would take it into the council of a group of angels in heaven. He said, "But my God shall supply." You got to learn to depend on God and understand if God says He'll do it, He will do it. And I know we're in economic turndown right now, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the righteous seed begging bread. I've never seen that happen when we really trust God. We're still in the greatest nation in the world, the most economically sound nation in the world. And we need to understand that regardless of what this world does, God is still in control. I still trust God today. Let me get back to my points. We can't argue this point in the Philippians 4:19 because we believe what God says, yet there are times when our actions indicate otherwise. We say we believe it, but what we do says we don't. Do you understand that? There are times that we hold on too tightly because we believe that we are in charge of our possessions. I'm not saying you hadn't ought to be a good steward of what God gives you. I'm not saying you shouldn't make wise investments. I'm not saying you shouldn't use what God's given you to take care of your family. I'm not asking you, nor is God asking you, to just give it all back to the church. God never asked you to do that. Never. There are times you give sacrificially. There are times you give out of want or out of need. But there's other times, more times than not, we give out of our abundance back to the church. There are times to give sacrificially. Don't get me wrong. I've gave my last dollar before, but God never failed me. So I'm not saying that you just give everything to the church. And we're not telling you to do that. We're telling you to follow what the Word of God says concerning your giving. We believe sometimes, however, that we are the source through which our needs are met. Sure, you need to be good stewards, like I said, but you're still not the source. You're not your source. God is your source. You're a Christian. God's your source. In doing this, in saying we're the source, we can do it. I don't need nobody. God, I've got the ability to make money, and some people do. God still owns the earth. God still gives you, he says, everybody that dwells in still belong to me. Although you don't act like it sometimes, you still belong to him. Although you don't want to believe him, you still belong to him. It amazes me. Let me throw this in. It amazes me that you'll trust God for your salvation, but you won't trust him with your finance. You'll trust him with your eternal soul, say, I'm saved, going to heaven, and believe and have faith for that, but you can't believe and have faith that God will take care of your everyday need. Something wrong with your thinking. Can I say it like I'd say it? That's stupid. And you're ugly, preacher. I know that. I was born that way. We hold on because we think we're in charge. We're not in charge. We think we're the source that our needs are met. We're not. Ignoring this, we ignore the fact that God says in Luke 6:38, here's what Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. What's that mean when you press down, shake it together? What's that mean? You get it. Have you ever went and gathered up something and you say, well, I don't have enough room, but then you press it down and you can put some more in there and then you shake it and you can put some more in there and all of a sudden it's running over. That's what God said would happen if you just trust him. Be pressed down, shaken together and running over. He would meet your need. He'd take care of you. I want you to be blessed. I want you to walk in favor with God. So we ignore these scriptures, many passages of scripture, because our focus centers on our needs, our wants, and our desires. I mean, we'll save for months to get some certain piece of clothing or a new motorcycle or something. We want it and we'll save up. And, you know, us men's got our little cubby holes and shucks, my wife found out where mine was at and it's empty. I hid stuff behind a picture in the bedroom one time. She said, where'd you got that money hid? I said, ain't none of your business. I'm saving it up for buy a cow. I did. I bought a bull, black bull, with that money. I wouldn't let her know where it was at because she'd put it on a bill somewhere. And I was saving that to buy me a black bull. That's the truth. But God was supplying my need. I was taking care of the church, taking care of my family, and I was able to come up with some money to buy that bull. Because God also takes care of a lot of our wants. When you're living right, He'll take care of your wants. Because God loves you that much. I'm going to just say, our fasting and prayer this past 3 weeks have been focused on seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things would be added unto you. If you fast and you pray, but ignore your tithe and your offering and your alms, you're going to miss out on the manifold blessings of God. We read the scripture that a three-fold cord would not easily be broken. Well, tithes, offering, and fasting, prayer, and giving is what we told about the three parts. So I had to finish this sermon series up, didn't I? I couldn't leave you out there thinking, well, it's just fasting and prayer. There's more to it. I want you to find out about the whole counsel of God and be able to do what God wants you to do so that you can be blessed the way God wants you to be blessed. We need to grasp this. So may I suggest to you that if you fast and you pray, but you refuse to give and you refuse to adhere to God's plan of blessings for your life, that you might sabotage the very miracle that you've been fasting and praying for and hoping for, that very thing that you really need God to move for, when you refuse to do what God's word says and obey the whole counsel of the Lord, that God says, okay, you cut your own self off at the knees. You blew it. I didn't. I was poised. I was ready. I was able. And you said, I'm my own chief executive officer. I'm the boss of this house. When really God is. To illustrate our way of thinking, we see that sometimes we feel like we're the boss. It's more apparent, never more apparent than the area of tithes and offering. Research indicates that on average, only 5% of Christians tithe. 5% is all that tithe. I'm happy to report today that this church has more than 5%. We have close to an 80% tithing range in this church. That still tells me there's some still falling below God's standard. We're trying to help you today, all of us, and also help you that are to understand this is God's prescription for provision. And God wants to bless you. 80% give only 2.5% per capita of what comes into the church. 5% carry the load. 5% worldwide are carry the load of the church. It doesn't take a financial genius to figure all this out, doesn't it? If the church would give to God what rightly belongs to Him, the church would not have a financial problem. That would mean no more chicken dinners, no more Indian taco fundraisers, no more peanut brittle sales in the church. No more depending on outsiders to finance what the church needs. Because when really, the church has all that it needs because it has God, and it has God's blessing and God's favor over it if they just do what God said. We have all that God promises right there in our hands to do all that we need to do for the Lord. Right here, even now, this one church, we could do all we're supposed to do. It would mean that we would not be dependent on people outside the church. It would mean more for the missions around the world. It would mean more for the needy in our community. Instead of when people come, instead of saying, well, we don't have no funds available for that, we say, yeah, we can help you this time. Be more money available to help people. More money available to do ministry. So why do we hold on so tightly? When holding on tightly contradicts what God commands in His Word. Why is this? Man, why is it so difficult to give to God what belongs to God? You're a quiet bunch today. Why is it so difficult to do that? Just ask yourself that question. Why is it so hard to do that? Why aren't we more generous with the finances God given us? Well, I'll tell you what I believe it is. I believe it's not a giving problem. I believe it's a lack of giving. It's a heart issue. It's not a money issue. It's a heart issue. God says, if you love me, you'll obey me. We could also say, if we disobey Him, the love of God is not perfected in us. It's a heart issue. We treat God like His heavenly resources have all dried up and God needs time to recoup His losses before He blesses us or can deal with our needs. It's not so. He owns all the cattle of 1,000 hills and all the taters under it. He owns it all. It belongs to God. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell within. It all belongs to God. It all belongs to Him. We call it ours. See, we got two vehicles out there in the parking lot, a red one and a blue one. They're not new, but they're paid for. And I say they're mine. But they ain't mine. They belong to God, too. But I call them mine. We got a house almost paid for, and we say, that's my house. No, it ain't. God gave me that house. God gave me the ability to pay the payments on that house. God gave me the ability to make the money to pay the payments on that house. It belongs to Him. It all belongs to Him. Let me suggest to you this also. One of these days, it's all going to burn up and it won't matter anyway. Fact is, every one of us here, if the rapture doesn't take place, you're going to die one day and it will not matter. You won't take one dime with you. One shingle off the roof of your house will not go with you. One little lady, her husband was dying, and he said, I want to take my money with me. He said, I want you to put it up in the attic, and as I go by, I'm going to grab it. So she did what he said. As soon as he passed from this life into his eternal life, she ran to the attic, and there the money was sitting. She goes, I knew he was going the other direction. Another gentleman died and said, I want all the money in the bank. I want it in my casket. So his wife and family said, we'll do that for you. So when people passed by the casket, there was a check for so many $1 million laying right there in his hand. When they shut the door, shut the lid on that casket, and they buried him with all his assets right there in his hand. But it didn't do him any good. He was not going to cash that check. We hold on to something that's not really ours. Our resources, God's resources, are not tied to the Dow Jones, the S&P 500, or any other financial institution in the world. His resources are not tied to our way of thinking. We know this is not the case, so what is the problem? I believe it's conviction. I believe the missing element is conviction. Conviction is a strong persuasion or belief. Now, we look at conviction as God's convicting me of doing something. I hope God is convicting your heart today and placing within you a strong persuasion or belief in His Word. It also can be described as a confidence or assurance in God's ability. I have a conviction today. I have a calm assurance in God's ability to bless me and to supply my need according to His riches and glory. I pray that a lot when I pray. God, I thank You today that You have supplied all of my need according to Your riches and glory by Your Son, Christ Jesus. Thank You, Lord, that I have all I need. I have food. And it shows. I have shelter. I have transportation. I have clothing. You all ought to thank God for that. I thank God that you have clothing. I have all I need. I've got a wife that loves me, children that love and care about me, grandchildren that just think I'm the greatest. Well, I think they do. I've got everything I need. God takes care of it. It ain't tied to anything this world has. It's God. But I have a conviction that He's going to take care of me. I know He's going to. My conviction is that if I do what God says through faith in His Word, God will meet my every need. My conviction is that God is faithful to His Word. My conviction is that God can be trusted. My conviction that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I can ask or think. My conviction is that God is the source. I used to work for a company called Eureka Water. I worked there about 6 years, and man, it was a decent job, but I worked hard and I was buff back then, you know, just muscle and I could take a 45 pound bottle of water and with one hand. I know you don't believe this, but I could take that bottle and I could swing it up on my shoulder. Now, I only did that to show off. I didn't do that full time. Well, somebody else said they could do it one day, and they showed me they could do it. I said, well, if you can do it, I can do it. And they said, you can't do it. I said, I'll do it. I can do it, and I'll show you. And I picked that up and put it right up on my shoulder. Boy, it hurt, but I'd have got her done. That was a good job. They treated me pretty well. But every once in a while, my route would grow because God was blessing me. And they'd come in and say, Stone, Dennis, come here. We're going to cut your route down. I said, what are you doing? I just got it built up. Well, I said, you're cutting my route. I said, it's not your route. It belongs to the company. And we'll do what we want to do with it because it's ours, not yours. I said, well, I'll tell you what. And I'll tell you what. Go ahead, cut it. I'd be smart aleck, you know. Go ahead, cut it. Let me tell you what God's word says. We don't care what God. I said, well, I'm going to tell you anyway. David said this, that I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Go ahead and cut it. God will give it right back to me. Within 3 months, I'd have it all right back. I made Salesman of the Year 3 times in a row. God, not because I was so good, because God was so good to me. He'd just open up doors for me, and I'd be able to sell coolers. You got to go sell more coolers. I said, well, I ain't going to work at it, but God will take care of it. I'd work at it a little bit, and then God would open up a door over here, and I'd go in there and sell a cooler, and God blessed me. Why was that? Because I was a tither. Because I gave to the church. Because my conviction was that God is faithful to His Word. And I'm going to trust Him. Luke 6:38, we read it earlier, says, if we're open-handed and we'll do what God says, it says, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men given to your bosom. For with what measure you meet, it shall be measured back to you. So we must believe that if we do our part, God will do for us what we can't do for ourselves. God will take care of us. Amen? It's the truth, church. Maybe, in closing, I got about 10-minute closing here, so don't y'all get excited. We're going to lunch early. In closing, I may have 4 closings today. We'll just see. Maybe it's time for us to just do it. Just do what God's Word says. Stop doubting. Stop rationalizing. Stop waiting until you have enough money to tithe. Stop waiting to tithe until all your needs are taken care of. Maybe it's time to just trust God. Stan Toler wrote in the introduction to his book, The Cycle of Victorious Giving. He said this, Christianity is not about gold watches. It's about golden crowns. Crowns that we will one day cast at our Savior's feet. This book is about balance. It's about giving to give, not giving to get. I used to have a saying, and it kind of goes along with this, but yet in some ways it sounds contradictory. We give to get to give. It's not about me getting more for myself. It's about me getting more so I can give more back to God. And in doing so, I'll have a little bit more left over, but I give to get, to give. But when you think it's about giving so that you can get, so that you can hoard, so that you can have more, you've missed the point. So it's not about giving to get, it's about a victorious cycle of giving that results in as much peace as it does prosperity, in as much wisdom as wealth, in as much living as luxury. There are 4 main components to that book. And I've read them all, but I'm not going to preach the whole book to you today. But I'm going to give you those 4 main points briefly in our closing. First off is to trust. We trust to live. We must trust God. We must commit our ways, including our finance, to the Lord and rest in His abundant supply. Secondly, it's commitment. We commit so that we might grow. We plant spiritual seeds in order to reap spiritual maturity. Our giving reflects our attitude toward material things. If material things are more important to you, you won't give to the church. You won't see the value of it. Did you know that we have a person, a family, outside of this church that sends this church anywhere from $1,000 to $2,000 every month? They had very seldom come to this church, but they have grasped hold of the principle, the principles in God's Word concerning giving. And they give probably not just to this church, but to some other churches also every month faithfully. We never see them. We might see them twice a year. Fact is, I've tried to go out and eat with them. They say it's unnecessary. I say, I won't take you to eat. It's unnecessary. We won't do something for you. We don't want it. Fact is, one time I said, if you do anything for me, I'll quit. I'll quit sending it. I said, hey, I'm cool. It's cool. I'll stop. I'll leave you alone because you're a blessing to us. But we want to do it to show them that they were a blessing and to show appreciation that they, not even attending our church, do more than many people that do attend our church and do it more faithfully. Isn't that something? But they've learned that it's not just about them, it's about giving and letting go of material things. Now, they're very blessed people. But you got to understand, our giving reflects our attitude towards material things. I told you earlier, we'll put money back and we'll save money because we want something. That shows that we're more in love with material things than we are with the spiritual things. Then we trust, we commit, and then we delight. We delight it to give. Giving is an act of Christian community. It provides us with inner spiritual satisfaction. It enhances life. It does not impede it. I don't know about you. I can't speak for you. I can speak for myself and my wife today. I love to give. When I give, it makes me feel good. I don't just give just because I feel. I give because God's Word says I should give. But when I give, it makes me feel good. Because I know I am participating in God's plan for my life. And I'm not just getting back money, I'm getting back joy and peace, contentment. I mean, things just seem to fall together when I do my fasting and my prayer and my giving, and I'm growing in God, I'm growing up in Jesus, and I'm becoming more spiritually mature, more sound in my faith, more sound in my thinking, and I know that whatever need I have, I can depend on God. If it's a spiritual need, I know God's going to be there. If it's financial, I know He's going to take care of it. If it's an emotional problem, I can see it. I can know that it's going to be fixed. If I have a wayward child, I can trust that God's going to meet that need also. Whatever the problem comes up, no, I have a neighbor that decides they don't like where my fence is at. I know God's going to take care of it. That haven't happened. I hope it don't. But you understand, God, I just trust God to take care of every area of my life because I delight in Him. And then there's rest. There's trust, we trust, we commit, we delight in God, in giving, and then there's rest. We rest to inherit. Giving reaps eternal rewards and dividends. See, it's not all about getting it here. You are laying up treasures in heaven where the Bible says that moth don't eat it up and rust doesn't corrupt it. You're laying up treasures in heaven. That's therefore God has promised us a fabulous ending. We're heading somewhere. This world is not my home. I'm a pilgrim. I'm a stranger here. I'm just passing through on my way to heaven. So why do I want to hold on so tight to what God's given me when I'm just a pilgrim? I'm a stranger. I'm a sojourner. I'm passing through. I won't be here too long. But we build bigger houses and buy bigger cars. And I'm not saying you hadn't ought to buy a new car when you need a new car. If you can afford to buy it, buy it. If you want a new dress and you need a new dress, buy it. If you got the money for, buy it, but don't use God's money to do it. See, when we make a commitment to His kingdom on earth, we are actually making an investment in eternity. When we trust God and give, it's life-changing and life-freeing. Because now you can trust God. Malachi, God says, put him to test, to the test, and do it. Malachi 3, verse 10, in the Amplified says this. Bring all the tithe, the whole tenth of your income, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now by it, says the Lord of hosts. For if I will not open the windows of heaven for you, pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. A true Christian must tithe. A true Christian will tithe. God is saying, do it, and see if I won't come through for you. I've trusted this word all my life. I've seen God move when it didn't seem possible. I've gave my last $5 in an offering before at church, needing gas to drive back and forth to Oklahoma City. Payday's not till the next Friday. And I've driven all week long. Because God made a way where there didn't seem to be a way. I'm not saying He filled my tank up. I think He made it last longer. But He provided some money to me during that week that I wasn't expecting. Wasn't a lot, but it was enough to put gas in my car. Get me through to the next payday so I could go to work. God supplied my need. I've driven cars that wasn't fit to be on the road. I've driven them back and forth to Oklahoma City. I'd buy me a $300 or $400 car, get it running, and drive it back and forth to the city till I wore it plumb. It was already wore out till I got to where it wouldn't hardly run. Then I'd sell it, buy me another one. Finally, one day, I was driving through Oklahoma City on my water route, and there's this 1985, that's a long time ago, 1985 GMC pickup sitting up on one of them. It wasn't four-wheel drive. I sure hoped it was. It wasn't. One of them little small, what do they call them? Small GMC pickups. Huh? Y'all can remember that far back. Quit acting like you don't know. It was one of them small GMC pickups. And I seen it sitting there, and I thought, I'd like to have that truck. I'd like to have a truck that's dependable. Something drive back and forth to work that I wasn't worrying about it breaking down. You know what? I drove that truck home the next day. God made a way. Now, I had to borrow the money, but I was able to get the loan, and I drove that truck till Melissa tore the mirror off of it. Actually, I drove that truck till right before we started this church in 91. But God gave me a nice truck. I drove that thing back and forth to work. It's nice. Little bitty, but it was nice. God gave me the desires of my heart. I just was faithful, kept tithing. Pretty soon I had the money to buy me a truck. I've never been without a truck since. I've never been without a car. Ever since I was 15 years old, I've always had a car to drive. Why is that? Because the blessings of the Lord make rich. God blesses us. Let's see. Let's do what God says do. And see if God won't do what God says He'll do. I hope this helped you today. I know it wasn't spiritual, but really it was. It'll help you. Three cord ropes not easily broken. Fast, pray, and give. It's all important to your spiritual well-being, to your spiritual growth, and your spiritual maturity. Let's learn to trust God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Martha's going to come and